Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, scumbags. This is the Scummy Mummies podcast with your hosts, Ellie Gibson and Helen Thorne.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it's me, Ellie Gibson.
And Jesus Christ, Ellie, we've got a legend in our midst. It is, of course, Camille O'Sullivan.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus, sorry about that. They went up the Richter scale. That
I'd say not everyone gets a clap and a whoop. And to be honest, you're the first guest who's ever whistled themselves onto the podcast.
I whistled for myself in gigs too. I realised I don't even I used to hide it from the audience before I'd go upstage. Now I just whistle at them because I think, come on. I was my own whistler.
I like it. I like you to progress getting an actual whistle, like a huge clown's whistle. I might just come on stage with that.
Absolutely.
Yes. Why don't you introduce yourself, Camille O'Sullivan? And who is Camille O'Sullivan?
Oh my God, probably not what you see on any poster, but I am an Irish singer, sometimes actress, and just living in Ireland still, and used to be an architect and used to do painting, and basically wasn't doing anything the last 2 years, and have started singing again. So, and also, as what's happening in my life, getting older and enjoying it, but also falling apart a bit and trying to enjoy that also.
That sounds a lot of information.
Familiar, yes.
I think we've got enough for 40
okay,
minutes.
Sorry about that.
No, I think, well, thanks very much for coming.
Bye.
And see you next time. Until next time. No, lovely.
No, I'm so excited because I first saw you and fell in love with you on Jules Holland.
Oh,
I'm
my
sure
God.
So many did. I was like, who is this sexy Irish goddess? You absolutely blew me away. And I remember ringing up my brother, John, who's a jazz.
Which we just discovered that I know him well and love him very much.
Oh,
that was so funny.
He will be so pleased that you've said that on the internet. But I just remember going, John, I've just seen Camille O'Sullivan. And he was just like, yeah, isn't she just fucking amazing? And I was just so blown away. And I've yet to see you live because our shows are on at the same time at the Edinburgh Fringe.
Well, so I'm very selfish, Camille.
Maybe after some, I'm always offering people to sing in the kitchen. So, you know, maybe we have 4 days left, girls. It might happen yet.
So, yes, I've seen your, we're in Edinburgh, which they're recording this in Edinburgh. And we've seen your lovely face and all the posters around town with this sort of red fedora and all this gorgeous eye. You're like the woman I've always dreamed of being.
So have I. Darling, that's a woman I've always dreamed to be. I think what drives me a bit crazy is all the years I've come here, like, you know, realizing it's not a propagandist photo, but I'm always joking to the audience, whatever it takes to lure you into the building, and now we're going to see it. And the joke this year kind of is, I mean, it's called Dreaming the Show. I say to them, I don't even look like the poster anymore. And what's worse is they laugh, but it's that nervous laugh where you know they know that. It's when I was past the tech team, they were like, is that you? I said, of course it's me. I said, after about 6 hours of makeup. So what's awful is, you know, because even my partner said, because I saw some real pictures and I was like, Jesus Christ almighty, I have to go to the gym. I'm going to check out surgery. I was like horrified. And he said, no, you look like that. I said, Aidan, it was lights. It was makeup for fire. But no, but it is great to do it. But the reality is a bit different. But it is. And I can hardly, what's funny is, like, all these years, I can hardly look at the posters anymore. I've got this kind of thing. I love looking at people's posters. I'm a kind of a, I've always loved that. I'm always like, why does that poster stand out? And I'm across the street. And but with my own ones, just a bit shy of it. In the same way, I wouldn't have any pictures of me at home. But yeah. I think maybe that's not a bad thing as a performer, because, you know, I get like that little bit of a heart attack when I do, like, I now have to wear glasses so I can't really see what I'm doing. Like, the makeup, sometimes I say, God, I put a big large eyebrow on there. I just don't care anymore. I'm just going out. Like, I was sleeping in the disabled toilets yesterday. That's where I made my home. Like, I was, my piano player passed me by going, I just saw something under a blanket. And he says, and I said, that's me. I'm just getting ready for the whole madness. So,
just but that's interesting to me, what you said about you're not happy necessarily. Because it's the fashion nowadays, I think, to say, no, I love my body and I'm happy with I look like, and I'm like, you're not. No.
I'm really, you know, I love my girl, like, all my girlfriends, I think, look amazing. And that's because I love them. And and somebody said once, you know, if you have a great smile, you're sexy. And then I did a joke with, like, a missing tooth in it, going, really? And we did a few of those pictures. I said to my friends, do you think I look sexy now? And they were like, but... So I know that they look great, and I go, is this the same madness they're going through in their heads? But, you know, I do. I mean, I come, my mom is French, and I, not that I blame her for this thing, but there is a, with my dad who's Irish too, it was always, you know, to take care of yourself and stuff. And I used to do all the running. I am atrocious. I can't exercise for my life. And it was, what annoys me is that I had those issues 20 years ago.
Mm.
And now I realise I was rocking it. So I've told my girlfriends, right, when I'm 80, I know I'm rocking it now. So it's like, you know what I mean? But it is, I think you're, like, I am unhard myself, because also none of the bloody clothes fit me anymore. That's another joke in the thing. It's like, I'm wearing these outfits and then I turn around and show, it's kind of slightly zipped up at the back. Now, girls have chatted with me afterwards, like, it must be two dress sizes or something like that. So, of course... Not out of vanity, but just trying, I don't know, your femininity, trying to hold on to, you know, how you looked and that you still have something to give. And that's maybe why I'm dressed in a Simon Le Bon gold jacket and sparkly shoes, because I'm, you know, look at the shoes, look at the jacket, you know. But, you know, like somebody said to me the other day, you look great. You have your mother's eyes now. And I went, what does that mean? I have my mother's eyes. Yeah, what does that mean?
Judgy.
No, but, you know, I do think I'd love, like, I'd be so supportive of my girlfriends. And a very dear friend of mine, a lovely guy who actually, Tina, Chris Green, who does Tina C and Ida Barr, he just said years ago, he said, Camille, and you took away me to an island once, leave that computer at home, the internet, stop this madness, stop all those voices. He says, just, you know, be your best friend. And I was there, like, rocking, going, you know. And he was right. It's something, you know, I don't always share that, but maybe chatting to you, it is, you know, I do think it's important, because years ago when I was doing gigs, I was probably, I love singing. I'm kind of a strange performer in the sense I'm quite nervous before on stage. So singing is where I can immerse myself. But revealing myself was terrifying. And then my girlfriend said, well, you know, because you can hear me chatting. And also it's a nightmare for an audience if I chat that much in a show with them. But I tend to, like I said to you before, you know, I'm from a village, and all of us in Ireland, we do tend to joke to kind of cover the melancholy or the darkness.
Oh, is that what you think it is, that famous Irish
I think
humor?
It is
really about being deep down utterly miserable.
Well, miserable and shy, I think, repressed. Yeah. We're very apologetic. We laugh at ourselves before other people do, and we're a country that looks out, like, you know, America, Australia, England, and we look at all that television, understand everything, and then so you can react to it very quickly. And we're not like, I always think we're like hobbits of the world. We're kind of cute, but we've also got that mad black kind of humour, and also we're quite, not two-faced, but we're like, oh, that's great, she's an absolute bitch. You know what I mean? Did you enjoy your meal? I loved it. It was the worst thing ever. Trevor, I'm out of here, right? So, you know,
well,
that's
brilliant. The couple in the shed, they were fighting.
Everybody always says, all my friends says, I'm that couple, you know. So anyway, it's that kind of thing. So what was interesting was, you know, maybe all the years of trying to be not like a sexy singer, but many, you know, in your 20s, you're like trying to be seductive and then be funny or whatever. And as time went on, you went, you know, it's not like, at stages I go, I'm going to do it in my bloody dungarees. I'm going to do it in my boiler suit I bought. I'm going to do it in my pajamas. At the beginning, I remember somebody saying, oh, you can't sing that song because it's a man song. And I was like, what are you on about?
What the fuck is a man song?
But you know what
I mean? Was it called I've Got a Big Cock? Yeah. If not, fuck off.
Well, actually, it was that. No, it is.
I love that track, yeah.
It was I Have a Big Cock. No, but
from the musical, Look at My Ding Dong.
Don't put that as the bloody adverse thing, whatever you do, right?
That's a soundbite.
Jesus Christ, yeah. I'll never be allowed back through passport control in Ireland. I heard what you said on the thing, Camille O'Sullivan. So basically, years ago when I started just gigging in little cafes, it was doing Brel and Kurt Vile, and then it slowly led to Nick Cave and Bob Dylan and Leonard Cohen because I realised the same thing. But somebody had said, can't you sing Doris Day, or can't you, you know, do... And I was like, well, this is the stuff I love to do. And, you know, why are you doing Amsterdam, which is a boy song? And Amsterdam isn't even like... It's just very... You've got to be kind of... feral and quite tough and angry, and maybe that was a real like, oh my god, a woman. And I was like, what are you on about?
Oh,
and
man, I know plenty of tough, angry women,
but you know what I mean? Yeah, and I have plenty of them too, and they should all be singing that. But that was the beginning of realizing. So, funnily enough, it's not on purpose, I didn't end up singing women's songs, I ended up singing lots of Dylan and Cave and Bowie and Radiohead, and maybe it was because it was easier to take those songs and make them kind of slightly emotional or be ferocious in them and be rocky or be very vulnerable. Whereas you take a woman's song, you sound maybe that you're being a tribute or you sound like them.
Yes.
Or do you know what
you're
I mean?
You're never going to sound like...
Whereas there's something in their song, you go like, you know...
It's a proper reinterpretation.
Yeah.
You're not just sort of replicating.
And and also it flips things on the head that you know, I don't know, like some... I think Irish people are good at having the drink and letting go, but it's the after sitting by yourself going, oh my God, I can't believe I did that to Auntie Maureen at the party or whatever. Do you know what I mean? And
the voices.
I have 20 voices up there, and they've all got different accents. They're from Northern Ireland, Cork, you name it. Going, she was shy tonight. She wasn't that bad, actually.
Have you seen a doctor?
I have, and they say you're absolutely screwed. And also, I have this stupid bloody thing which I do see a doctor about, which I have. A problem with opening emails, and I have a problem with answering the phone.
What do you
since
mean?
I've been little,
with responding to contacts, because when we're talking now, you're always you're happy to send chat. I can't open.
I have probably, not bad. Maybe it's 2,000 at the moment, but I went to people because it's a really weird thing. And you know, take it on board, ladies and gentlemen. I can't believe I'm sharing this, but I can't work it out, and I don't know if it's because I received nasty kind of emails before, which you do as a performer sometimes.
Yeah.
But I know that when I was little, we used to never answer the door, and we'd be behind the curtain. And
really?
It was probably because my father was being chased for tax or something, because I do remember him jumping over walls and stuff, and we're like, he's gone for 3 weeks. But there was that thing of not answering phones, but definitely not just work, like people who might be offering me a job or my best or like really good friends. So it's a real problem, and I mention it to the doctor, go, is anybody else? He said, I've never heard of it before, Camilla. And I'm like dying going, this isn't so bad. So it's a really weird thing as a performer. Like I remember I loved singing growing up. It wasn't something I wanted to do, I just loved it, but I didn't want to do it in front of an audience. And then my sister reminded me, she said, you know, probably from the age of 5 to 7, you used to have your eyes closed kind of because it was your way of thinking people couldn't see you. And you did it for 2 years. So it's, and my
Fuck
own
me,
daughter
you must have just
is
bumped
a bit,
into shit. Yeah.
I did bump into shit and every all the time. You know what I mean? But I think a lot of people don't realise that. Like, I don't know what it's like to be a comedian, but, you know, I think people sometimes go, oh, you've got to love being up there. And you go, well, sometimes it's just a mad, mad vocation. And and possibly therapy in its own little strange way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That you go,
and sometimes I say it's not a career, it's a compulsion.
Yeah.
It's an addiction.
Yeah.
I'm like, I need another big joke. I need to write another thing. You know, and I love connecting with people on that, in that way. And I love that the hour that Ellie and I will have with a group of women will make them feel better, or at least
hopefully.
Keep them ideally. Well, hopefully, exactly. The intention is that they'll have a laugh, they'll release, they'll connect with us, they'll connect with the things that we're talking about, and that's addictive.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, you were telling me that you started the podcast like 9 years ago, and it was to give that avenue for people. You know, I know that sounds weird for people. Like, I thought to myself, I might go to
I'm not a religious person, but I thought I might sit in a church after this because I just need to sit in a place. Mm. And I sometimes wander into churches when there's ceremonies because I like being around people. Like, I know some people might think it's an act when you say thank you so much for being here, but they're around you. You want to cuddle people because generally people are lovely people. And
in the audience,
through,
you mean, when they yeah. can't see a
and
show,
they're going
yeah.
through shit. And,
yeah.
You
yeah,
and
shit.
That empathy that you realise, oh, you're up here doing here, and hopefully that's making something happen. It is lovely to be on stage and to be able to express yourself. Mm. But as the years went past, I mean, people have made ponchos for my daughter. Sent
the title of an Edinburgh show.
Sort of mean.
People made ponchos for my daughter yeah. by Camille O'Sullivan.
Well, the other one I love is Cats in Kimonos, but that's because my daughter is over it. She said, you can buy kimonos for cats. And I thought, there's a name in that. I mean, the name Dreaming, I say to the audience, look, you're here, it's wonderful. The name is there, but really it should be called The Wheels Are Coming Off, or I don't have a fucking clue what's going on. And did. Oh, I mean, it never meant, like, somebody said, you're very funny this year. And I said, that's because I'm falling apart.
Well, that's my, but, you know. So my question is, though, so, yeah, so you're, like, the similar sort of generation of us, we're in the middle of our
yep.
lives.
Yep.
And as you say yourself, you've got various shits. You've got shit yep. to deal with. You've got this fucking email shit. And yep. then you've got the performance. All
I can't believe
shit.
I shared that. But anyway, maybe
no,
somebody out
you.
There gets it.
Yeah,
yeah,
no,
yeah
absolutely.
Yeah.
But there's lots of people who won't answer the phone or yeah, you yeah, can yeah. only text and all that sort of stuff. That's yeah. very, that's very yeah. common.
No, yeah. I did go through midlife crisis, waking up one time in my bed going, oh my God, is it over? Is it the beginning? Is it the middle? Is this the end? And I felt it was the end. And that really, really shook me. Like, I woke up and I went, okay, I won't be an astronaut. And I was never going to be anyway. But I always had this thing as I'm very childlike in my outlook. And I think for any friend, I think the possibilities are endless. I always tell my friends who I knew from architecture, because they were like, God, I don't know if I want to do it. I said, go off and live in Italy and go off. And then it was the first time I went, maybe that's not possible anymore. And that, I really got upset. And then I had to go and read some other older women or the people who have got the pink hair over New York they did the films about. I went, no, look, we can all do that. We still,
yeah,
the opportunities are there.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
but the
I,
notion
I wanted
of change.
To be an astronaut when I was a little girl, but I'm optimistic that by the time
it
I'm 80, space travel's just going to be like, you know, getting
you
a Ryanair flight to Belfast.
Okay, so you can, you'll be the person driving us. I can't wait.
Excellent.
I'll be,
excellent.
No, but I mean, just
I'm happy
the notion
to do the
you,
teas and coffees, to be honest.
No, well, I suppose it was the same, like, I suppose, I don't know about you, how, you know, like, how does one become a comedian, or how does one become a singer, how does one go to Edinburgh, like, how do you know, I sit back, I don't know if you do that, like, you go, how the hell did I get to here? I think what was weird during lockdown was, do you stay doing that, even though it's everything to you, or do you just go off and do something completely different? So that was just, I think I had probably going through midlife crisis for probably for 10 years. And it was just sometimes you can ride through it. I do need, like, I joke to the audience sometimes, is it if you're, you know, if you're suffering from a bit of depression or you think your life's falling apart, I bet you feel better now. And they laugh nervously. I said, who do I have to look at? So I suppose some of the things you say on stage when you're nervous are, you know, what's funny, if you came over to Ireland now and you say, oh, is this how, like, a lot of people chatter away and there's a lot of shite talking, but then there's a gold nugget in there of some wise piece of information in the midst of the madness. I think through shyness and that's why there is the bit of drink taken. That's my view on it. And I think sometimes all the joking comes there, not, I'm a singer, but when I hear them, there is a way of talking in Irish too, like when you translate from an Irish, it's quite poetic when you switch from Irish to English, the direct translation. And it's never direct, it's always danced around. So that's why when you're with Irish people, you think you're always with funny, it's always like, oh my God, like,
yeah,
in a good way. And my mum said a funny thing. She said, I'm so glad you weren't completely French as a singer, because you'd be too serious into yourself. At least you have that kind of like self-depreciation and a bit of the black humour.
Yeah.
And I think
and
good,
you can't stop talking. She said, you're a pity you're not enigmatic like me, you talk too much like daddy.
Sorry.
Sorry about that. And please, I will shut up.
No, sorry. You need to shut up and smoke more.
Look at my big voice. I can see it on the scale. Sorry.
But I think, you know, good comedy and good art, you know, good songs come from pain.
Absolutely.
And that's what we've all experienced in the last couple of years. And I think, you know, I went through a divorce.
Did you? Don't know if you mentioned it.
When
did that happen?
I separated 3 weeks before lockdown.
Holy
so
Jesus.
I went into the darkness in lockdown, but I thought that was a really good time because I was locked away with my children.
Oh my God. But nowhere to go to...
No hugs. No one.
Oh God, that would have driven me mad not to be able to be near friends at that stage.
Yeah, so Ellie could come and knock on the door.
Well, that's good.
And leave a lasagna.
Oh God.
And then she
that's
ran
so
back.
Sweet of you.
She ran
I'm
back.
I'm a very good person, Camille.
No, I could tell with the two girls.
Yeah, inherently.
But also Ellie and I now joke it like it was a gift. It was great that my ex-husband fucked a psychopath because it gave us, you know, a connection to this amazing community of single parents. You know, I wrote a book about it, you know, I never stopped talking about it. But the pain and that sort of recovery, and there's a great line by the comedian Hannah Gadsby, there is nothing stronger than a broken woman put back together again.
Listen, I think it's true. I mean, I used to think I was a better singer when I was falling apart in the sense of the climb back up.
Yeah.
Because you have to be strong. I don't know, lots of male friends too, but my female friends they gather, like they say, a village rears a child. A village also bloody protects, you know, it's amazing how your friends can hold you. And I felt so lucky in the situations, like myself, I went through something similar. And at the time, it was like you feel like you're falling apart. But I remember opening up, like, of all, like, and it was quite funny at the time, like, I was in, what's the equivalent of, I always call it With Smith, but it's W.H. Smith. For like 10 years,
W.H. Smith.
Calling it With Smith, like, and people went, Camille, like, there's so many English things I get wrong.
That's what we're calling it forever.
It's terrible. And I'd ask them, where's With Smith? And they're like, I have no clue what you're saying. And so basically, I'm in this place with like 12 books of like why a man doesn't love a woman, why are you falling apart, and they're mad, like I'm talking about stacked with my head behind it. Somebody comes up, Camille, I'm your biggest fan, and I'm like, it's so great to meet you, I'm buying these for a good friend of mine, she's going through a kind of a breakdown. And all the books are like falling apart in your life. I couldn't, and the tears down the face. Anyway, I mean, I joke about it, but I sat there and my poor parents and my poor friends, and I didn't, and I had the little baby who I adore, who's 9 now, but you know, the little eyes looking at you and going, I can't be what you need me to be because I'm falling apart. And then sitting reading and then and thinking you'll never get through the mist. And then my wonderful friend from Australia came to visit, and my friend, you know, they could all be there and surround me and my mum, who was so good, being there every day. And this book, it was a Buddhist book or something, and I just went, you have to accept where you are. And it was like, you know, you accept the situation. And when I hit those kind of, it's not as traumatic, but when you hit those marks again, it did help, because you go, yes, I mightn't say in your career, it mightn't be going exactly the way they want it. I don't look the way I would like anymore. I did accept it. And this relationship, because I didn't know how to climb back to even talk again, you know, and connect with the partner, or, you know. So that did kind of go, well, this is what it is. And you can't look for anything outside of anybody but yourself. You're looking for someone to make that better or get an apology, and it ain't going to happen.
No.
So, and it's so painful because you go, I deserve that. But in the end, everybody has their own madness they're going through. Who knows why people hurt other people or do things. And so
sometimes they are just ourselves, just to say, but
yeah exactly. but not in the case of my lovely co-parenting partner, who's a wonderful man who loves his daughter so much.
But what was
funny was, I'm quite probably, I would say, I'm a needy enough person, and my partner jokes now when with says, the cat's needy, you're needy, you know, your daughter's needy. But I remember like always messing up in regard of romance, because I'm quite a romantic person, but really naive. And so
I'd always dress up and try to be, oh, is this how you should be? Or, oh, that's funny or whatever. And then I was like, I don't care anymore. I will wear my hair backwards. I mightn't put lipstick on. I will, you know, and it was so liberating because I was doing a gig. We ended up 3 weeks after the whole thing of breaking up and the baby was 3 weeks old, was, do you want to come to Meltdown to sing with Yoko Ono on stage? And I was like, I think I'm having a breakdown, but you know what? I do want to go and sing with Yoko Ono on stage. You know, if I'm going to finish it off in a big way, I'm going to do it on stage with her. Yeah, so, you know, I won't do anything crazy, but this may be the night, ladies and gentlemen. So I go over. I don't know the whole thing about, you know, the breast thing and a baby calling and all that stuff that happens. Ladies and gentlemen who are women, who you might understand kind of what I'm alluding to, but there was that whole thing of children calling and your body responding. And some of the guys who were fathers were laughing when I got off the plane. But anyway, it was amazing. I was like completely crazy, and I was looking at her going, I can't believe she's there. And then Sean Lennon was like, I love your style, and I love it. And I was like, he loves my style, I'm mad. But I had gold boots and my 16-year-old, I started dressing like I did when I was 16. I kind of went to this crazy thing of back into my parents' house, I'll find that I will dress like David Bowie again, I will not wear black trousers and be like going to an office every day, and nothing wrong with that, but I said, like, big black cloak. So anyway, I ended up, like he said, come in, my mother hates me drinking whiskey, we'll go into this like cupboard here. And I was like, fantastic. And
she's been in a cupboard with Sean Lennon.
It was brilliant. But also what it was worse was Patti Smith, who I'm a big fan of, like when I was going up, I couldn't believe I'd sung my thing, the elevator was there, and all I saw was, I'd pressed the button and I saw Patti Smith's face not looking too happy with the doors closing. I was like, I'm in my just went up going, that's it, you'll never talk to me again. So anyway, that was it. And then my own partner, about 3 months later, we were doing a show for this amazing guy, Philip Chevron. And I've been very lucky, I think, as a person, with people who've kind of been very kind. And, you know, I was never sure to be a singer. And he was so supportive here. And you always think of little people on your way. Just took one person to go, yeah, I think you got something. And you go, wow. Because if I hadn't had you, I'd probably still be doing this thing. And then I got a message from my own partner going, who's now, was just like, hi, I saw you sing on the side of stage, we'd like to go for a coffee. And I was like, actor, no bloody way. No way. Not a musician, not a comedian. Like, I was really off everybody.
I want an estate agent.
Yeah. Yes, I want somebody normal, down to earth. So anyway, so I didn't answer, and I didn't know what to say. Yes, I'd love to meet you, I have a baby. No, I don't know, how do I answer that? I have a baby, you know, I'd love to meet. No, I can't say anything at all. So I went off, and then I asked a few friends, and they said, well, he's really, I mean, he's nasty. And he's like, God, Jesus, you know me. He says, no, have you seen the stuff he did on TV? I said, he's a bloody actor, what do you expect? So months went by, and about I'd see him every now and again, and my heart would go, and then I go like that. And anyway, 3 months went by, and I just answered him. I said, I'm very sorry that I didn't answer you about the coffee, maybe sometime in the future, but not yet. And then he cheekily, like a year and a half later, he said, he wrote to me again, and he said, would you like to be in a film where I become a woman? And then I said, yeah. And then about a week later, and then I get together with a woman, and I was going, you're really chancing your arm here. Like, is that how you're, you know?
Yeah.
But he said, no, I wasn't at all.
Yeah.
So it was a long courtship anyway. But what was interesting as a woman is I didn't do my hair. I didn't care. I wasn't needy because I was like, I couldn't after that. Well, because I thought for me, and I talked to another girl recently, a lovely girl who went through the same. And she has just got engaged last week because we were chatting about this to a guy I know. And she said she thought it was just going to be her and the baby. And that's the same. I thought, well, it's just her and I now. Mm. But the loveliest thing, what happened, because I was very like protective of my daughter in that regard, being such a little one. He just said, look, I know she means the world to you. So we'll do everything together. We'll meet together. You know, we weren't going to bars like and bringing her there. It was like, we'll bring the travel cot. We'll go to the park. And I was like, you know, cha-ching. I just thought that was the nicest thing.
Yeah, compassion.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't even know why I'm saying this. I think I'm... Do you know what? You girls are so lovely and you've... It's just... It's true. You've made me think I'm on some night out and having a chat with you, but I'm sharing it with everybody.
That's really lovely.
Oh, Jesus. But I'm so... I never say this stuff, so I'm feeling too relaxed for my own good.
Oh,
Come on in. Look what they do to you. They lure you with their loveliness. They've got the best looks on them and the nails and everything.
But I want to go back to your thing about... So you're having like all... You've got all this stuff, the voices in the head and the emails and all this stuff. So with all this stuff, do you... Is it about, right, well, I want to fix all this stuff and I've got to do better, I've got to change? Or is it about accepting that this is who Camille is, this is who I am, and this is just stuff that I'm going to live with, and me and everybody else maybe has to go, well, that's what this fucking is, you know?
Well, that's... I think... That's what, that's what I think when I'm climbing up on stage every night. I think it's a funny thing. My life sometimes was more on stage than it is in my own life. Like, I can't sing in a party. I can't sing for my parents. I can only do it on stage because that's a safe place for me, which is a weird thing to say because it's a spotlight, as long as I don't see anybody falling asleep or looking at their watch or whatever. So it, for me, it... When I had the tears off, I was like, who the... It was a shock. I didn't want to really meet me because I was happily touring, keeping the ball rolling. And I knew the moment I stopped to climb back on that horse was going to be the hardest thing, because if I have... Like a friend of mine said, you're a bit of an introvert expert. You're just quite happy to be with it. Like, I loved being by myself. I loved just being by myself. And, you know, I felt so terrible for what people were going through. But as personally for myself, to not gig and know that I didn't have to was just such a relief. I started pottering and sewing and trying to do hula hooping and then drinking my head off and all that stuff. Fixing myself was, I suppose, like what you said, the same thing. I, like, when I got started singing, I never thought of it. I started late enough. So, you know, 20, I was doing it on and off. But when I went for it, it was probably 27 and 28. So it wasn't like, hey, I'm going to be a pop star. I remember seeing somebody who was this amazing woman, Agnes Burnell, who was 70 something, and thinking, wow, she's amazing. She's so captivating. It's not about sexuality now, but she's got something so incredible as a storyteller. And my sister was like, what are you doing? Because I had a car accident and that's what made me switch from going into a singer. And she said, I thought you want to be a painter. That's what you're always doing.
Yeah.
And so the singing was a way of, like, if I couldn't express myself in my own life, which I found very hard, which is maybe what the email's about, maybe this was the good place to do it. And then audiences happened. And even my parents were very sweet, like, we think you're great, but maybe you're not, because we're mummy and daddy. And then my mum went, who are these people? So slowly, you know, and I was surprised. I was like, God, people want to see this. And Edinburgh was a surprise to me because I thought nobody will want to see this. And suddenly, bit by bit, you realise, oh, I have a chance or a right to be here. And then time goes on and you go, right, what's it about now? Why do you go up now? So you go up now to sing because you love it and it's joyful. Can you fix the person you've come? I think it's 50-50. I think accept all the madness. Be with people who are really lovely. Don't waste your time with people who are shits, and really care for those people, because that was the thing I think I missed when touring was my really close friends. I haven't really learned how to care for myself in that regard, and that's not great for my daughter, which I realise, because if mummy is sorted, as they say, or so you, that's what they tell you.
The oxygen, you know, mask, yes.
Because I did, we had to kind of do a co-parenting therapy session, and she said, we fixed the little Camille first, and I was like, how long do we have? We could be here for a long time. So it's, and also being, I think a lot of performers, I think, are, for singers at least, are childlike, so it's that thing which is good, which I think everybody, I would love to hold on to it just a little bit more, so don't lose that part. But I think the, I do need to hit myself in the head for the criticism or the, like, which is a very Irish thing too, though. Like, I apologise a lot, and I said, you know, people at this age, and Virgil, who works with me, go, no, Camille, I'm fine, it's just you. And I was going, what do you mean it's just me? I thought everybody our age. He says, no, just you. And I was like, oh my God. So,
but I love you've just said that you need to hit yourself in the head for criticising yourself
and
too
did
much.
It again.
Yeah. I mean, but yeah, you're now criticising yourself for criticising yourself.
Well, I don't know. Like, I don't, like, I've done it with everything. It wouldn't even have mattered if I was a performer. I need basically a drink every second night to get through it. That's what's happening. If the truth be told, I'm not sure if I'm getting, I don't
every
know.
Second night.
We didn't drink yesterday, which was the first time in the whole festival.
I don't think it's the first time in like 2 years for me.
Yeah. I bet we've ever had a night at Edinburgh where I've not had a glass of wine at least.
Would you be hard on yourselves coming up? Or you're good. Being comedians is hard.
Oh, it's, you know, we're very lucky in that we've got each other.
Yeah.
And so there's someone else who's going through literally, I imagine it's not the same, but I wonder if it's a bit like being a twin. When I've talked to twins,
absolutely.
They're like, you know, you've always got kind of someone there who's having the same experience as you. And
yeah.
And I think that's that we're very lucky in that.
Yeah, it's definitely like, because with a band, you'd never, like, with a girl with a band, it's a nightmare. Like, they're lovely, but you're married and divorced to them all the time. It's and it changes all the time.
Oh, look at Fleetwood Mac. I mean, good
oh
grief.
My Jesus. Oh.
Yeah.
Or Metallica. Like, as I said the other day to Fergal, I said, we need a therapist. That's how it's going to work. And he laughed. And then my partner said, well, Metallica brought their therapist on tour. Mm. And I was going, you know, it's a real Spinal Tap moment.
Thinking, favorite film.
Could they, my therapist, also be the light sound person, the peaceable who do merchandise?
That's genius.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
It is time for the Scummy Mummy Confessions.
Hooray!
Now, we'll give you a minute to think, Camille. I'm going to share, I would love to share, if that's all right, the confession that we had at the show last night.
Yeah,
which we had. I hope she won't mind me sharing it on the podcast. I'll bleep her name if she does.
I did an Instagram post about it already, so it's fine.
We had the lovely Kylie from the Egg Community, which is a fantastic mums organisation up here in Edinburgh, and they've been very supportive of the show, so massive shout out to Egg. If you're in Edinburgh, definitely find them and follow them. They're brilliant. And we had our queen last night of the show, happened to be, we didn't actually know it was her, we've not seen her before.
Yeah. Mm.
So our queen of the show last night was Kylie, and so her confession was, she used to go to a fancy gym where the Saracens rugby club used to go, and one day she saw some of the Saracens training, you know, so she started doing some very vigorous cycling on the floor just in her leggings, you know.
She was lying on her back and she was cycling her legs in the air,
and she got quite the crowd, so she started doing some extra moves, she said, didn't she, like you know, the sort of round at the yoga moves and all of that. And then she sort of did a sort of sit up, leant forwards, and noticed that her leggings had split open at the crotch, and she wasn't wearing any knickers.
Oh my God.
And she was exposing her fanny to the Saracens. And this is her words, not mine.
No.
And it looked like a burst couch.
Oh my God.
I would say we've all done it, but I have never, I don't think I've ever not worn knickers to
no,
the gym.
No, I do like having a nice between
liner.
Me, because it gets sweaty down there.
Double
and also there is a higher risk of a little pee when you're doing a jump.
So thank you so much, Kylie. You honestly, you made the show last night, mate. Funnier than anything.
And the rugby team's day.
If you put that in a sitcom, you know, we'll know if I can
believe
it.
Listen to me, like Kylie, you destroyed me because I can't think of anything like that. I'm trying to think. My life is bad enough, but I'm not.
I have a confession.
Okay, good.
Last night on stage. So part of the show is that we have these scummy mummy confessions. So everyone in the audience writes a card, and then so I was running around and collecting the cards. So Ellie reads through them, and I let a real stinker go, like a really farty.
You looked at somebody else going,
"Oh, nasty, nasty, nasty fart." And then Ellie's dad came on stage, and he went, "Oh no!" Like I repulsed Ellie's dad.
Well, and they knew it was you. You should have pointed at somebody else and just gone like that.
He looked.
What was your dad doing on stage?
My dad is an old comedian. He used to come up here in like the early 80s and do stuff. And now he's 75 and he's our roadie. So and he does stuff.
Jim is a roadie.
He's here somewhere. Dad!
Jesus, leave your father. Come here to me.
So, Camille, where can people follow you? What do you want to plug? All of that?
Oh, my God. What do I want to plug? Well, I suppose my website, which I'm trying to update at the moment with no useless information. So, www.camillosullivan.com. There's CDs of all the past of Nick Cave and Brel and Waits and Bowie. And there's also, we're doing the London Union Chapel, Islington, on the 18th of November, which is beautiful. We light that with candles. It's a beautiful old church, and it always is such a kind of magical venue to play. And then we do the 26th of November in the Olympia in Dublin Theatre, which is also one of my favourite venues.
Amazing.
So that's that, and then I'll, you know, come back and do my next, I don't know, confession. I'm going to be going to the... I'm not even Catholic, and I'll be going down to do a confession.
Yes, you're going to church. I mean, a lot of people turn to religion after hanging out with us.
Honestly, Camille, it's been so lovely
to have you on the podcast.
Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing, and thank you for chatting and just being hilarious. Lovely to have you.
Listen,
to meet you.
And I'll give you another whistle.
Go on, finish.
We'll blow. You'll get your father, Jim, up. Just one second.
Right, wait, I'll say until next time, which I always say at the end, and then you do the whistle. Okay. You ready? Until next time, bye-bye.
Jesus, wait.
Oh, my God. There's 1,000 dogs coming over the hill. Well, look, I mean, we've gone deep, team.
Is that too much?
No, I love it. I love a bit of existential chat.
I'm going to be, like, in a few hours' time, I'll be having a gin and tonic, ladies and gentlemen, with, Jesus, why did I say all this?
No. Feel confident.
Yeah.
Own it.
Put your girl pants on.
Yes exactly.
She just did it. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it's here, there.
That is the sound of Camille's pants, which means it's
you
time.
You didn't think it was gone, Jesus.
No, the klaxon sound.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.